This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll open up the phone lines. We want to hear from you. Is this a playoff-bound baseball team again? Have they lost all momentum? Give us a win total. And if you got a player that this season hinges on, open lines 248-539-9797. John, you want to tee us up?
I will. And I think this is a team that's going to hover right around 500. I think we're going to be playing the same song and dance as we did last year. Maybe they don't get as far under 500 as they did last year, but it's always going to be two or three games under 500. And then they're at 500 and we're celebrating. And then they're a game or two over. And then they've got a 7-game series, road trip in the West Coast, and they come back and they're down to under 500. So I think they end up with 80 wins, just under 500.
Losing record.
Yeah.
And I'm the negative one on the show.
Yes, you are. I'm maybe just more realistic at this point.
Okay. So 80 wins. That means they're not winning the division, clearly. They're not making the playoffs either. And the biggest reason they don't is?
They just don't have enough bats. Not enough hitting.
Is that, well, it's injuries and offseason?
Well, yeah. It's the fact that we believe, even if there's no hitting and there's poor defense, I still think you look at this pitching staff and it's a top five staff, which they will waste away. And is there a kicked ball at second base? Is there a misplay in center field? And how many games does that cost them? And what was 86 last year? I think it costs them 4 or 5 games.
Parker Meadows isn't going to be back until late May at the earliest. What if it's later? You know what I mean? And here's the other thing, guys. While we talk about injuries, what happens when they actually start playing baseball games? Is it possible that players get hurt playing actual baseball games in the first 60 days of the season? I'm going to venture out and say yes. Riley Green has missed, on average, 50 games a year for the first 3 years of his career. Last year, he was remarkably healthy, but still missed 30-plus baseball games.
Well, remarkably healthy, and where did he play?
In the corner. And they are hesitant to put him in center. They want him to play as many games as he can all season. But the trade-off is Kreidler, who has no track record at the plate at the major league level, is going to play more. And McKinstry is going to play more. And Javi Baez, who can't hit, is going to play more. That's before anybody gets hurt, right? So I'm forced to look at this and say they're not a playoff team. If you want the rosiest outlook, again,
The season begins today. Hope springs eternal. Everybody's excited. Romantic baseball. The most optimistic would be the pitching keeps them from collapsing. They do get healthy. AJ works his wizardry, keeps them in the hunt at about 500, and they buy at the trade deadline.
You're saying AJ has to do a good job.
AJ has to do a good job. And John, I think he will do a good job, but I have him falling just short. I have him at 82 wins, much more optimistic than
you are.
All of 2 wins better, 82 and 80, they fall short, they miss the playoffs.
But I think we're both kind of feel the same thing
in
how I described it. They're going to be a team that is just hovering right around 500. And honestly, if they can hover around 500 through the first 40 games of the season, I may actually change my win total for the end of the year. Because if you then get Parker Meadows back, and if you get Vierling back, and yes, you're going to lose other guys. Other guys are going to need rest days. And, you know, it's 162. And we always talk to AJ, right? And we ask him about the trends, and we ask him about this guy and how he's hitting hot. It's always very cautious. It's one of 162.
Yeah.
It's just that they are starting off behind the eight ball. They have no I don't want to say they have no advantages. They have a distinct advantage with the pitching staff. But the issue is going to be, it's not always going to be swing and miss. You're going to have to play a little bit of defense.
The ball's going to get put in play.
How many extra base runners are there because of issues in the field? What happens with those base runners? And then on the flip side, are the Tigers going to be opportunistic enough that when a mistake does happen, you get a guy on first? How do you move them to second to third and then ultimately get across the plate? You're going to have to be very opportunistic when guys are in on base, not just in scoring position, but on base, whether it's Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, Riley Green, Colt Keith. You've got to have hits.
So last year they went first to third a lot. Arguably the best team in baseball. That was part of their formula late in the season, was going first to third. But it was guys like Vierling and Meadows going first to third. If you're at first and you got to drive them in, you're going to need power, which is what puts the shift of the pressure on someone like Torkelson. I mean, Torkelson really, I mean, it's unfortunate we're in this spot, because at the end of last season, nobody thought he had much left. And now a lot hinges on whether or not this guy shows up and is the proven right-handed power bat in the top of the order that they drafted him to be. And I just don't think he's that player. I'm hopeful, but I don't think it's a given. I think there's too many questions with this team. Torque is a question, even with a hot spring and a new stance, a new approach. Torque is a question mark. Colt Keith is a question mark. He's playing a new position. He had an OPS sub 700 last year. Now, we project he's going to have a better year too. It's not a given. These are questions. Gleyber Torres, I think he'll hit. He was the worst defensive second baseman in baseball. Who's the everyday shortstop? Who's playing third base primarily when they have right-handed pitching on the mound? Who's playing center field? Is Kerry Carpenter built to play the outfield for the bulk of the season? Right. I mean, there are too many questions on this baseball team for us to confidently say, yep, it's going to be another miracle. I'm going to bank on another miracle. They're going to find their way in the playoffs.
What you want to hope for, again, I emphasize hope, is that you don't need another miracle. You need to finish strong, but you don't need another miracle. And to not need another miracle, you can't bury yourself early in the season. And I know the old saying is, well, you're not going to win a division in March or April, but you could certainly bury yourself at that position.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. Starting today, I don't think they will be over 500 all season. Tigers win 78 games. Bad defense, not enough bats. Javi in the outfield simply because ownership won't cut his atrocious contract. Last year was amazing, but not reality. And you can watch mediocre baseball from those sparkling new $600 home plate club seats. Positive approach. Pitching will help carry this team until they get healthier. They will win the division title with 89 wins. Bill in Newport.
Okay.
Yes, hope springs eternal. Tigers win 87 games, one more than last year. They'll make the playoffs, win the American League crown, and yes, I have money riding on it. Go Tigers. Jason in Royal Oak.
Well, at that pace, in another 5 years, it could be a 90-win team.
I'm going to hammer the under, 83.5. It's the biggest unit play I've ever placed from an unnamed texter. After the season, all I've heard all week on the station is the Tigers will fall back and suck this year. The only thing that sucks is what you guys have become, Bill, in Newport. Oh, boy, he's coming at us. Don't be mad at us because they didn't do much.
So I think some of it is how much do you believe in what happened last year? And if you just take the last 2 months of the season, not that they'd have to come back from a deficit, but that they can play the way they did at the end of that season and be able to do it without pitching chaos. Can they just have a reliable rotation and then the chaos flips to, you know, the lineup? Who's in center? Who's the third? Who's batting second? Who's batting fourth?
Look, you can manufacture it some, but AJ's got like five guys on the team who can't hit and like five guys on the team who can't field. So I'm not really sure. I mean, he'll do the best he can.
Yeah. Are you including Torque in that?
Do you think he can hit?
Well, that you put him as the most important. You think
yes,
he can?
I think it's a huge question mark. Well, I also don't have him making the playoffs, so it would tell you he may give us some spurts, but I think he's got his issues.
It's just hard to fathom this team right now, the lineup the way it is, and the significant time that Vierling and Meadows will both miss, that you're going to need 20-plus homers from Torque. I mean, you have decided as a team to keep Torque in this lineup and on the opening day roster, and you sent down Justin Henry Molloy, who led off against lefties in the playoffs last year. You're going, there has to be something there that they think is real with Torque, because that's a choice you made because of the outfield. They don't want Molloy to play outfield. Yeah. So they went with Kreidler and Torque instead of Molloy and Kreidler for defensive purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's telling, because you were willing to lead this guy off last year, Molloy, in the playoffs because of, I think, the all-around game he maybe provided at the plate. They're going with Torque's power. They believe, I think, that it's going to happen because it'll be a short leash. If he starts off like last year, Molloy will be up here in 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I don't think this is going to be a thing where he's going to be buried in AAA. They're going to need bats.
Last year's start, they survived Torque. Remember, they actually started well last year. They survived mm-hmm. Torque, and how we're finally like, even AJ called him out, kind of. It's like, look, eventually it's a seat next to me.
I understand the explanation of why they took Kreidler. The backbone of their team is outfield defense to help the pitching, and that's what wins games here. Isn't Kreidler and Javi kind of redundant? They're both super utility guys who can't hit. Just take one. Why both?
And that's why if Torque doesn't hit or Keith doesn't improve, if Keith is inconsistent like last year, they're going to be so anemic offensively at times. Like, I think they're a candidate to be the first team to be no hit. I know. I hate to. That's negative sounding.
Well, when you say something like that, no. But when you say something like that, you have to take into account the White Sox are going to be playing baseball, and so I don't know that they're the first team. I think they're a candidate because there are going to be days, and hopefully it's not back to back days. Hopefully it's not a week's time or weeks time where they just struggle to make contact.
I wanted to hit just one thing. I think the money question today is, okay, if you don't think, I'm going with 86 wins. I think they're going to match last year. I think they're going to methodically kind of go up and down through the season again, and I think Meadows or Vierling or maybe both will be back. That'll be the difference. These are guys that were 3-2 WAR players last year when they played. I know people want to laugh at the Vierlings and Meadows defensively, what he provides to this team. If they can survive the first 60, get these guys back, I think that they can potentially make the playoffs again. But I don't think last year was a fluke. I don't. I think this team was rising with young talent and a good, decent pitching staff. The problem is I right now I'm leaning towards it's might fall off the rails, even though I'm still sticking with the 86 for now. I think they can be that good, so I'm going to choose to be the positive side of it right now. But I can see where this thing gets very, very ugly. You're talking about Vierling and Meadows. That's 225 starts minimally in the outfield for you. That you long-term cannot overcome that, especially when they're the first two guys that are going to go first to third when they're on the base pass.
Ticket texter, I think this is a typo. Says, leave it to Costa to be so negative. No, I think you meant to say John. He's the one who has him winning the fewest amount of games on the show.
Yes, one below 500.
Ticket texter says, it's the start of baseball season, the start of spring, and we have to listen to negativity. Costa, are you ever happy? Another one says, shut up with the negativity. Costa, you're being an ass. Do you want us to lie to you? Like, serious question. Do you want us to lie to you? John, you don't think they're making the playoffs. I don't think they're making the playoffs. Do you want us to lie to you? Is that what you tuned into for today? You wanted to get on the radio and you wanted to say they're actually winning 90 games because the old English D, because baseball, because the sun is out. What do you want us to lie to you? They don't have a center fielder, a shortstop, or a third baseman. Do you want us to lie to you? That's what I'm getting from these ticket texts. They want us to lie to them.
So we're making our preseason predictions, and they're both right there at 500. Until we see 15, 20 games, because they're starting off against the defending world champs. They're going up to Seattle. Then they'll be here against the Sox. You have both extremes mm-hmm. where they're playing against really good baseball teams, and they're playing against one that I think we all agree is going to be awful. The more we get a chance to see them and learn about this team, because what is possible? It is possible that Spencer Torkelson will be more of what we saw in 23, where he hit 30 home runs. It is possible that Kerry Carpenter, instead of only playing in 87 games, plays in 145. How much of a difference does that make? If you can get power from those guys, and then Colt Keith doesn't have the downswings that you see in rookies that mm-hmm. he had. Not that he's going to be perfect or he's going to be the baseball player he will be in 2, 3, 4 years, but he's better than he was last year. It is possible that this team could be right there, even though they have these catastrophic injuries at one position, that they could be a team that when they get to 40 games is 19 and 21.
I think that'd be a huge 20. Win to be right around 520 games in.
All of a sudden you get
win.
Parker Meadows back.
Sure.
Vierling back. Could they? I don't think they're a team that is 90 wins.
No.
But they could certainly be as good as they were last year. But here's the thing. Here's why I say they don't make the playoffs. Just because they hit 86 games or 86 wins doesn't mean they're a playoff team.
They got in by the final game, really. I mean, right? But by the thinnest margin possible, right? They clinched on the Friday. There were a couple days left in the season, but it really came down to that final weekend.
But what we can hope for is that we are in a playoff run at the end of the season, that they are still in the conversation of they're a game back, they're two games back, and then they put together, oh, well, they're one above the cut line. They're in the wild card. Like, that's where we, I think, where they are as an organization, as a skill, as a talent, as injuries, as production, that's where they're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, I feel like we've highlighted the pitching. That's pretty positive. I said, get me to the deadline and I can buy. That'd be positive, right? Survive the injuries early. Those are positives. Mm-hmm. But there's so many questions with this baseball team. The fact that the answer for all of them is going to be yes.
So unlikely.
It's unlikely.
But out of, you know, five questions, can you get three yeses and two noes? What does that do for you? Again, that's why I say this team's going to have to be opportunistic. One of the things that they struggled with last year was runners in scoring position. They need to improve upon that. And then you think about this pitching staff where it's not just Skubal. And last year it was Skubal and Flaherty. Now you have Skubal, Flaherty, Olson, Mize, Jobe. And then when Cobb comes back, what does it mean moving forward? This is a pitching staff that can be dominant.
No question about it. 248-539-9797. You let us know your thoughts because we're too negative. Sell us the positive. Tell us what we're missing because I don't see this as a playoff baseball team. It's 97-1.